Good evening, folks. Welcome to Monday Night Big Footy Tiger Cast. Hope you're doing well. We are very, very close to draft night. Thank God we can be put out of our misery and get it all over and done with and just see what the new crop of Tigers will look like. But until then, there'll be further speculation, further guesswork and further mock drafts. So that is what we are all about. I'm going to sneeze. What an awful time for that to come through. But the other big thing for today is pre-season day one has kicked off today for us, the young club, the young Cubs. Is I think it was 1 to 3 players, I think it was, back today, and the rest of the crew to follow very, very shortly. But EJ, welcome tonight. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm really well. I'm really well. I saw a photo of my boy today, and I'm very excited.
Yes, young Kane McAuliffe sitting behind you looking absolutely ripped, kind of almost heading into Alex Rance territories with how ripped his arms are.
Oh, stop it. Yes, I have Kane McAuliffe. There's something about him, the way that he moves in traffic and the way that he doesn't panic in traffic, even when the heat is on, that makes me think that, look, I know we've got some shiny new toys coming and they're going to be very highly rated and they're probably going to be the best of the best footballers. I love a mid-range footballer that might rise. I was always a big fan of Brody and Grimes and Mansell at the moment, these sort of players. I reckon this kid's got something.
He don't, the games he played last year, like I was saying before, he still looked pretty good. Got the ball and used it well enough. So obviously picked up a couple of knocks along the way that probably kept him out of the side, which was a little bit disappointing. But I thought he was more than capable in what he showed. Would he be starting center square midfielder for you, EJ?
No, not at the moment. He's got to earn it.
And what's his secondary position?
I wouldn't mind. He's pretty good by foot. I wouldn't be averse to playing him high half forward or off a half back flank. But we all need an SA buddy. I just don't think that's going to get through. If you're thinking about the same person I am, there you go. It's like a Lambert type. Graham was supposed to take over from Lambert. Maybe this guy can be the one. If it's full and he's going to get games in a position that maybe isn't 100% suitable, high half forward or a half back flank?
High half forward I can see working. And then just rotate under the ball. So next year, I think for someone like McAuliffe, injuries permitting, of course, you'd love to see him play 16 plus games. He's another one of those guys. I know we've said it before, but we've got to try and get him to 50 games as quick as possible, along with the young crop that's in there as well. That's just the aim of the game. Sure what's happening on Facebook. Users aren't coming through properly on comments, so apologies that your names aren't coming up, folks, but we'll still pop the comments up there, but we won't know who it's from.
So the thing is, yes, we've got to get the games into the young players. We've got to get the games into the right young players. And I know that there's a couple of people that have got list spots that have played a few games now that maybe some people aren't wrapped, that they've hung around, like, Dow, for instance. Are you wanting to put more games into a McAuliffe and Dow is the break glass in emergency situation? So do we see a longer-term future in a Dow and a Ralph Smith and something like that? So do they get the games? Not a Dow. McAuliffe and a Ralph Smith. And so does Dow wait because we've tried him and we know what he is, if you know what I mean?
I think so. And like as much as I've fully supported Dow and keeping him as well, I think what you said at the start is kind of exactly where he'll end up fitting in as being break glass in case of emergency. Like, we know that if something happens with injuries, suspensions, whatever it might be, we know that he can come in and fill a role at an acceptable level. Won't be shooting lights out like everyone wants him to, but that's kind of not what he's there to do. So I think you do try and get the other players who are more talented, and as long as they're showing it, they're still got to earn it, to your point earlier. It's a really fine balancing act, isn't it? Because we're getting all these young kids in, as well as the young kids we've already got. But you don't. You also don't want to hand games out, do you? You want to make sure there's an element of making sure they're putting in good performances, whether it's at training, at VFL level, and actually earning the spot. You don't want to just hand games out at the same time. So it's a bit of a tricky one.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the thing is list spots 32 to 40, they're not going to be world beaters. So that's, I know people say, oh, you know, we've held on a Dow or whatever. That's where he fits in, 32 to 40, the back end of the list. And it's a cheap, known quantity item. Oh, what do we got here?
Oh, I'm just going to roll the training footage in the background while we keep talking about it.
I haven't been on when this has been on yet. So.
Oh, yeah, welcome. Oh, yeah. There you go. We've got Fandangle Technology. So this was a video the Footy Club posted up today. It's called Sounds of Training or something. So there's actually like some of the players are mic'd up and things like that. But we just thought we'd roll it in the background while talking about it. But whatever people want to think about Dow as a footballer, he definitely has a role to play at some point during the year, whether people agree or disagree. So,
now, I also saw pictures of lunchtime, didn't I?
Yes, lunchtime was back. I'm not sure if he did any minutes on the track or if he was there for meetings or if it was just gym work or what the case may be. But lunchtime was there. Josh Gibkus was there as well. And as we were saying before we started, I suppose everyone remembers how big Josh Gibkus looked last year when he started up pre-season. So hopefully he can keep going. Well, Kalina doing some ground ball work, if you don't mind, and passing it off. But he's one that's Kalina that I really hope gets a good run at it with his back injury too. But yes, lunchtime was there.
Right. Kalina's got to be on last roll of the dice.
I suppose in some ways he would be, but I also think there's an element of that he's in the position he was in because of maybe through no fault of his own. I think there was a lot of injury mismanagement. So I think the club's doing the right thing by him a bit and giving him a proper shot at it to see how it plays out, because those back stress factors just wouldn't go away. But I really liked what I saw from him when he was on the park. But have heard a lot of reports about this as well, EJ, which might excite you, that Maurice Rioli Jr. did look to be in pretty good nick. A lot of people posting about that on the socials. So that's a very good sign as well from him, because I suppose a lot of people were worried what happens to MJ when Dan Rioli leaves. But I think, you know, it's time for him to step up and be his own player and leave his own mark.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we all know how explosive he is and his ability to, you know, chase and et cetera like that. If he's shed a couple of kilos and fine down a bit, it adds to his explosivity, but it also helps him in developing his tank. And I know people have talked about him wanting to go and do bursts in the midfield. Well, you know, that'll help in that respect as well. He'll probably have a higher speed as well if you've dropped a couple of kegs.
Well, that's right. Yeah, he should. He should have a bit more pace about him. So that is very exciting. Just good to see. It's always nice when you hear players coming back in the right condition after a shit year. Like, it kind of shows that it meant a bit to them in a bad way. Like, they're actually responding to it. They're acknowledging it wasn't acceptable. They want to make improvements, which is always a good thing. The other interesting interview I saw was they showed like a behind the scenes in the team meeting, and Uze pretty much telling the young players that, you know, it's, even though it's the young kid or the younger kids that are back today, we're pretty much a pretty young club now. So it's all about them. They are the future. This is their club. So they've got to make sure that they're setting the standards for when the new crop come in a couple of weeks, and when the older guys come back as well. So his message essentially was that he wants to make sure that the players who are turning up after these young kids have are like, shit, okay, they've hit the ground running, they're fit and firing and ready to go. That's what he's wanting from them. But the interesting comment that he made was that when the eight new players turn up, eight. So whether that's a combination of eight draftees, which is probably less likely than likely, it must be said. I just thought it was an interesting comment that got my attention.
Yeah. I think we'll have six or seven from the draft, and then one or two from other means, whether it be the pre-season or the supplementary or whatever. It is a bit funny with that Facebook comment, you know, Facebook user who you don't know. But
no, we don't know.
It is boom or bust for a few of these people. It really is. It's a make or break year, because you've got the new kids coming in. Some of them they're going to be high draft picks. We know they're going to make it. So these mid-level players that we've got, you know, they've really got to put their foot down this year and show us what they possess and whether they're worth further investment.
Exactly. And like, I suppose, sort of to Phoenix's point, that Dale will be under pressure to maintain his spot given that what we're looking at with the mids. And I think, I mean, that's probably a large reason why it was a one-year extension that was signed, because there will probably be natural progression of some of these players. I kind of got no doubt that that conversation has already been played out. Like, I think there's an element of understanding of what your role is when you're at a footy club. But that's why this year there is still, I still think, a definite need for him. But yeah, we'll definitely be looking to these new young kids to step up and take over pretty quickly. What else happened at training today? So it's hard because not a hell of a lot more happened, but yeah, very excited to see Tom Lynch down there. And it's, yeah, we just need him to get 10 to 12 games into him to help get us through the season, essentially. And LaFau was there too, so I'm not sure what type of work LaFau was doing. If anyone knows, please let us know. He might be back running. I doubt it would be agility-based running. It might just be straight-line jogging, but good to see him there as well.
There we go. LaFau, Gibkiss, and Young all did some running.
Okay, nice.
I'd say probably laps then, wouldn't it be?
Yeah, it'd be, you would think it would be low-intensity straight-line
and run-throughs, maybe some run-throughs.
Yeah.
So, maybe someone was there can put some info up.
Yeah, exactly right. But no, good to have everyone back on board today. We thought what we would do tonight is there's obviously a lot of mock drafts going around this time of year, which is always very exciting when you've got some actual care factor about the draft like we have this year. So I thought we would take a look at some of the mock drafts that have been floating around and just have a look at some of the players that people have assigned to us, and we'll see what we think about those. And just so everyone knows, that next week on Monday, we'll actually be doing our own mock draft where we'll all take it in turns of picking players for different clubs. We'll do the first round, which should be really good.
And obviously, I can't believe we've been put in charge of recruiting.
Yeah, no, we're head recruiters now. And of course, we'll be live on Wednesday night for draft night itself. So, yeah, we'll take a look at some of the... Oh, if I can get my mouse working. We'll have a look at some of the drafts that people have got going. So I've plucked these. There's some from YouTubers. There's some from new sources. We've got Cameron Hicks is on there as well. So a whole range of ones on there. So the first one we'll have a look at is from Pommy in Oz, who is a YouTuber doing all things AFL. Very, very good channel. Make sure you do check out Pommy in Oz. I did see someone left a comment on his mock draft saying that we should get him on for talk about draft stuff, which he was more than happy to come on and do. So we might do that at one point in time as well. So Pommy in Oz has us taking Sam Lawler at 1, Alex Tarrou, which was interesting, I thought, at 7 once the bids come in, and then Bo Allen and Jobe Shanahan with the next two picks. So I didn't scroll all the way through to the... I don't think he's posted the next lot yet, but as a starting point, Sam Lawler, are you happy with that? And then what about Tarrou at 7? That was interesting.
The Flying Vikings coming big time in a lot of people's eyes. I would be surprised if he made it to 7. But if I look at that, I would say that is unlikely for us based on the fact that we have Gibkiss, Bolter, Young, etc. I would say that if you look a few places down and he's got like that doesn't look right. He's got Harry Armstrong with Essendon and Isaac Kakko with Melbourne.
Oh, it's Kakko probably flipped that. It'll be, flipped that.
Harry. I would say at 7, if we weren't taking a midfielder, we're more likely to take Harry Armstrong if it was a key position player, because we desperately need a key forward.
I suppose, and the argument might be, can Tarrou play forward? I've not seen or delved too much into it, but I'm kind of with you. I'm thinking that at 7, there's going to be still a pretty good midfielder available at that spot, which I think we're more inclined to take. But I am reading a lot more information these days that North Melbourne may look to not pick Tarrou at 2 and go for the best available midfielder. I actually had someone inbox me today who's had pretty good information in the past with this kind of stuff, pretty much indicating that they don't believe that many, if any, trades will get done on draft night, that most clubs are pretty keen to go with what they've got because of how deep it is.
Yeah.
And that according to him and what he's heard, that North are looking increasingly more likely to take the best available minute pick two and not reach for Tarua at two.
Oh, that would be magnificent from a point of view of O'Sullivan not getting to Carlton. That would be just that for the Lols, that'd be good.
Well, it could be Draper, though. It sounds like they might be keen on Draper, too.
Well, you wouldn't be upset if you got Draper, let's be honest. So,
oh, God, no. I put a video up today, guys, that I am all for Sid Draper, and I would not honestly be against us taking him pick one. He looks just as good, if not better, than O'Sullivan and Lawler, in my view. Everyone's going to have different views, obviously. But, if you're North Melbourne, you would be crazy not to seriously consider Draper, Lawler or O'Sullivan, whichever one we don't pick.
Yeah, but with this draft, I'm saying at seven, if we don't take Armstrong, if it plays out how he says it may play out, you've still got Murphy, Reed, Josh Smiley there, and you would, if you weren't taking Armstrong, you'd take Reed or Smiley, wouldn't you? If from that draft?
Yeah. Who would you take, though? Who would you pick? If you had to pick out of Reed or Smiley, who would you go?
I'd take Smiley because Smiley's 195.
Big unit, yeah.
He's a big unit. And we've got some really good midfielders, but we don't have muscle. I think our biggest is 187, and we've got a lot of midgets. Murphy Reed is class and, you know, absolute like skills. But so if we got that, no dramas, not going to cry. But if it was my choice, I would take Smiley because of the size. And he's talked often about how he will add to a club off field and the leadership that he brings. And I love the way he talks like that too.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I would take Smiley too, I think. It sounds like that we are very keen on him too. I think he's already got existing links and relationships with Blair Hartley, I believe. And there might have been someone else at the club too. So I think that is looking fairly solid. Apologies that I don't know the name of the person who's written this question, but I don't think we can get pick two without losing pick six, because as much as we all want to do a pick 10 and pick 18 or whatever it might be, realistically, if you're North Melbourne, you're not going to accept anything unless it's got pick six. And on the flip side, we don't want to lose pick six. We are just as happy to go to the draft with what we've got. And it sounds like that's what all clubs are going to do. All right. So that's the first one. The second one we will look at is the, I've got tabs. Ooh. We'll look at the ESPN draft. So they've put out their mock draft as well. So they've gone Lawler with us at pick one, which now seems to be sort of gaining a lot of traction. They've gone North Melbourne for Tarua at number two. Then they've gone Levi Ashcroft. Four, they've got Finn O'Sullivan for Carlton. Adelaide, Sid Draper. Melbourne, Harvey Langford. So at seven, they've got Josh Smiley coming to us.
Yeah.
Which kind of ties into what you said before. So there you go, 195 centimetres. Just a big unit. Like I said, my only worry with him was that his performance kind of declined a bit in the Nationals, but there could be a whole wide range of reasons why that happened. Then you've got Jagger Smith. I mean, can you imagine a world in which Jagger Smith gets to eight? That would astound me. And this becomes the question, right? Let's say that Jagger Smith and Smiley are both available at seven. Who are you taking then?
Oh, I'd probably take Smith and hope that Smiley slides to our next pick, because Smith is almost the antithesis of, the comparisons from other people and from Jagger himself is he says Butters.
Yeah.
That'll do me. No, high consistency accumulator, like gets a lot of the pill, really competitive. I saw him get knocked down in a game, like big hit, and just bounce straight back up. There was no carry on or any of that crap. He just jumped up and went straight back to it. So
thank God I'm with it.
Yeah. So given who's got picks after us between 6 and 10, I would be banking on Smiley sliding to 10 and take Smith if he was there.
And I've seen a few people question or worry about the size of Jagger and how he'll go against men. But people got to remember, he played a few games in our VFL side and it was not a factor. He was lining up in the middle. I know VFL and AFL is a different level, but it's still men. It's still bigger bodies and it's still AFL-listed players he was playing against. And he was handling himself quite fine. So that part of it doesn't worry me whatsoever. So I'm kind of with you. I think you'd have to go, if Jagger was there, you would have to go Jagger there and hope that Smiley slipped.
Yeah. And I mean, look, was Shane Edwards a big player?
Oh, he was a rake for many years.
Yeah. So I'm not concerned about the size. I just would like a big one at some
point. Yes. To complement it. Yeah. So the ESPN have got 9 for the Gold Coast with Lombard, 10 Trevallier to St Kilda, which hurts a bit. 11 Murphy Reed to the D's, that also hurts. So pick 12, they've got Harry Armstrong, and pick 13, Bo Allen. So there's been a lot of connections and a lot of love for Bo Allen getting linked to us at this around this pick in the last few mock drafts that I've seen. Looks really good, to be fair. He does look very, very neat, Bo Allen. And Harry Armstrong, I know we've spoken about before. I suppose my question mark is the contested marking side, like crashing packs. Do we value that someone like a Jobe Shanahan might do higher than what Harry Armstrong does?
Oh, Jack went all right, didn't he?
Jack did go very well. And Armstrong's he's a very good kick of the ball, like we've mentioned before. Very, very
Jeremy Cameron isn't exactly a pack crasher, is he?
No.
He's got that mobility and that sort of stuff. He goes all right, Jezza?
He does. Yeah, he goes okay, Jezza.
Yeah. So, the game has changed from a point of view of someone like a Hawkins is more the exception rather than the rule. As far as, being a big, bulky, whatever, I think having mobility is a real positive. I mean, you look at the Kings, they're big and they're gangly. They're not super mobile and their second efforts aren't fantastic, are they?
No, and I suppose, is it really though with a lot of key forwards? I'm not sure. I feel like that's something that comes to their footy a little bit later on, but...
Well, someone like Charlie Curnow's got the mobility though, and gets up the ground.
Yeah.
As does Jezza, So I just think the modern game, the crash, the pack is probably less important than what it was.
Fair enough. I can understand that. That's a fair call.
You got to compete though. You don't want a case of the Charles.
But... Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, you still got to be able to not enjoy, but thrive off physical contact when you needed to go. You've got to still have that ability to go, don't you? Like you don't want to be afraid of the contest, I suppose.
Yeah.
And what about Bo Allen? I mean, there's a lot of people mentioning, even in regards to Sid Draper, about the worry about the go home factor. My view is, I don't think we should try and worry about that too much. I think at some point you've got to back in your culture to keep these kids on board and to buy into what you're doing. It's a complete fresh start. I know, and it's probably just a bit raw because we've obviously lost 4 players, 2 of which are going home sick. Sorry, going home because they're homesick. I kind of view it a little bit differently though, because the players that have gone home, they've won the ultimate prize. They've done everything they could possibly do at the club. So there's not really that same enticement to stay, other than the love of the club, of course. But if there's then the option to go home, they will. Obviously, the issue then becomes Dan Rioli and Graham, who didn't go home. They just simply left. And that's, I suppose, a different matter. But I don't know. I personally wouldn't get too caught up on the go-home factor.
No, and I think we have to look at where we are in the cycle. We're bottom down at the moment. So are you telling me that if we're in the second or third year of our 4-year flag run that... Baker and Bolton would have gone home? They wouldn't have gone home.
No.
They've gone home because it's fit in well with where they are in the cycle. And someone else put a comment on the side, and I'll probably back them up, is they'd rather Trevallier than Bo Allen at that pick. And I'm probably of that mind.
Yeah, they probably would. I suppose in this example, he was already gone though. So that was probably the...
Was he?
Yes.
Yep. Correct. Yep. Fair enough.
But I mean, all things being equal, I dare say we would pick Trevallier over Bo Allen if both available at that selection.
Yep.
Now, this one actually did go a little bit further to our later picks. They have us taking Luke Traynor at pick 21, which I would be all okay for. I mean, I know he's had the concussion issues and things like that. He's going all right now, though, and I think based on raw talent, he was probably, a top eight prospect at one point in time. So I personally wouldn't have any issues with us rolling the dice on Luke Traynor at 21. And then the other pick we had, Cooper Hines was another one as well that's been linked in this draft too. So a lot of people have been putting up Cooper Hines' names a lot recently. But would you be happy with taking Traynor at 21?
At 21, yes. At 1-6-10, no. So yeah. With the risk involved, if it's still there at 21, absolutely. Yeah. Look, if he didn't have the concussion issues, he'd be up there, and he'd probably be ahead of Tauru as the,
I think so too. Yep.
As the key position player in the draft. So definitely at 21 would be worth a risk.
Yep, I would be all in for that. And Cooper Hines, I don't know much about Cooper. Was he 190 centimetres forward midfielder? Power, explosiveness and damage out of the centre. Oh, mirrors number one pick Sam Lawler. There we go. Loves the physical stuff. Okay, I think that's of interest. If anyone's got any more info about Hines, that would be interesting. And then Alex Dodson was the other one linked to us as well at the end of the first round from South Australia. 203-centimetre ruckman.
And who's that first pick in round two?
Oh, yeah. James Barrett. I've not heard of James Barrett. A defender forward. But I personally think that we won't even... I don't think we'll take this selection or this selection. I think they'll both be used and on-traded on the night for future first in some capacity. So, yeah, Cooper's best match with Harvey Langford. Very similar to Lawler. He's a forward rather than a mid. There we go. So a few people are on board with Hines. I might have to look up his videos after this. Okay, jumping across to SEN's Phantom Draft. So they have got us taking Jagger Smith at pick one, which is a little bit different to everyone else. How do you feel about Jagger going at one?
No. It's the safe pick. I think the ceiling is a lot lower than with some other players. I think he'll be a fantastic footballer for a long time, and if he's at pick six, coming on down, all good. And I know Simon Wallace will hate me for saying don't take him at pick one because he's Simon Wallace's boy, but I think we've got to take the risk with Lawler because his ceiling is ridiculous, I think, in comparison to some of the others. Like players like O'Sullivan might be considered better players now, but I think the ceiling for Lawler is higher.
Is higher. No, it's fair call. So they've got Lawler going two to North Melbourne, Finn O'Sullivan to the Blues at three.
SEN have just got Lawler going to two at North Melbourne because Dusty didn't go to North when he was playing. That's the only reason.
They're trying to get their fix in, quite possibly. Brisbane pick four for Levi Ashcroft. Pick five, the Crows, Sid Draper. Pick six, they've got Smiley going to Melbourne at pick six. And then for pick seven for us, they've got Harvey Langford from the Dandenong Stingrays, 191 centimetres. So another bigger-bodied mid like you were speaking about earlier. I suppose the biggest knock on him has been his speed. Even some players within his own, draft have said that they were worried. They don't know if his speed will hold up at AFL level. I feel like that's something that can be not taught, but they can train that, right? They can train the speed. But from a pure football ability, the guy can kick a ball and kick it really well, knows how to find it. So that has to count for something.
Oh, look, speed is fantastic and you need it in your side, but speed isn't everything. Gee, I'll tell you what, Sam Mitchell was lightning fast, wasn't he? Greg Williams was an absolute flash. you know, Patrick Cripps, oh, he's going to win the 100. Like, there are some seriously not fast, really, really good midfielders. If you're that style of midfielder, do you know your footy IQ can be better than speed? If I can cross codes for a minute, when I was playing rugby union, that's the one with the rucks and the mauls continuously on the ground. I was told that I was technically a good player, but I didn't get to enough contests. And this person said to me, listen, from a ruck or maul, when you get up, run your first 5 yards, you'll be 3 yards ahead of everyone else. And I watched a game, and the amount of people that got up and just took a breather for a second and then jogged, by going just that first 5 yards, I got to more contests every week, and everyone was talking about my work rate. Oh, yeah. Machine, right? I wasn't doing any extra work. Like, it was literally jogging a couple of steps. Players that aren't quick, like Sam Mitchell, get very good at putting themselves in the right position.
Yeah.
And then when they get the ball moves faster by foot than by hand anyway. So,
yeah,
speed is not an issue if you've got the other tools.
I think as well, I suppose the other problem is that the rest of our midfield isn't exactly fleet of foot, which may be a little bit more of the concern. I strongly disagree. I think you can train speed to an extent. There's running coaches, there's technique, there's ways you can help increase a player's speed for sure. Maybe not by 50%, but maybe by 25 to 30%, which might be enough to make a significant difference, but you can definitely help improve it for sure. But yeah, well, look, Langford one, I wouldn't be against. Like I said, he can kick a ball and knows his way around a footy oval. But I think, I suppose the concern is that the other players we've got on our list aren't quick either.
There's a point there. Dutchie said, EJ, you're talking about the top 0.1%. I am. You know, and that's what we're trying to pick with these top picks. I know that Williams and Cripps and Mitchell and that were the best of the best. That's what we're looking for. And we're in the top 10. We're in the top handful of picks. So that's what we should be aiming for. And if we see that someone who is not quick has XYZ elite qualities and believe that they can cover for the lack of speed, you push the button.
Yeah, exactly right. Like, we're not talking about picks in the 20s and 30s and 40s here. We're trying to pick the eyes out of the top 10, which would be very handy to have. But anyway, so you've got Harry Armstrong, who they have, Harvey Langford. And then we go down to pick 12. So they've got us, SEN have got us taking Tarua pick 12. Now, that doesn't feel like as much of a reach. I wouldn't be against it. And then Trevallia at 13, which is, I suppose, in place of where we had Bo Allen for the last one. So how would everyone feel about Tarua at 12 and Trevallia at 13?
So we don't have a forward in the first four picks.
No, which is interesting.
Yeah, okay.
But we may end up with one a bit further down here if we scroll a bit further down. No, so they've got us taking Christian Moraes, who's 183 centimetres. Okay, so then they've got our first tall forward being Jack Whitlock at pick 23.
Oh, geez, don't tell Grok.
So pick 23. Does it feel like pick 23 is too long to wait to pick a key forward, given how light on we seemingly feel in that area?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that the ideal spot to take the forward is that 12 or 13 mark, whether you go one key forward, one midfielder again. Is that where we're thinking we should try and get one to just to kind of make sure we get what we want?
Yeah. The RFC's sort of said something here. This draft looks a little bit out to me. So...
Oh, it was only published not long ago.
Yeah, right, okay. It's an interesting draft.
Oh, maybe they're doing it to gauge, to get reactions.
Who's it from?
SEN.
And they want reactions?
Yeah, no. Who would have thought? All right, we'll skip across to Cam Hicks's draft. He published this the other day on his Twitter account as well. So this was his revised one, which I think was different to what we went through with him the other week. So Cam had us taking Lawler at one, which, again, we sort of all think is universally thereabouts. Two bids to come in before that. And then our next pick, he's got Jagger Smith getting to us at eight, which would be huge. So before it, we've got Tarou going at two, Finn O'Sullivan to Carlton, Ashcroft to Brisbane, Draper to the Crows, Lombard to Gold Coast, and then Harvey Langford to the Ds. If Jagger can slip to eight, I think you've got to take him.
Yep. Fair.
I think that's, to me, that seems like a no-brainer with what else is left around. You would have to definitely do that. Then pushing on to our next two picks, pick 13 and 14, he's got Jobe Shanahan. Now, he's actually got Josh Smiley slipping down this far. Now, that would be an extraordinary result, and it kind of ties back to your hopes and thoughts earlier.
Yeah, and he's got Murphy Reid sliding even further.
Yeah. I would be tempted to take Murphy Reid in one of those spots personally. I really, really like him. But I'm not sure if Josh will slide that far, but that would be an interesting decision on the night if that happens.
Yeah, indeed. And he's got Jonty Fall at pick 22.
See, we've got, Jonty Fall at pick 22 is a key forward. Jesse Totoli at 24, and then Guerin at 27, and then Whitlock at the start of the second round, which, like I said, I don't think those two picks will happen anyway.
Now, look, I do have to bring something up. I have been given a message on the phone from a very good friend of the show about our pick 28 there, our last pick, Matt Whitlock.
Yes.
Please go across and look at the player comparison on the far right-hand side.
Rory Love. I didn't even see that. Right. Rory Love.
What? No.
Very good.
Now hear me out.
You would have to be almost certain that Cam's chucked that in there deliberately for us.
That's an Easter egg, is it?
That is a genuine Easter egg from Cam. Well played. I didn't actually see that when I opened it up. That's a very good spot up
there. Thank you, Jones Racing. Very well pointed out.
Rory Love comparison. I like it. My overall feeling with this one is it feels like we're maybe a fraction top or tall heavy in this one. All granted that 27 and 28 probably don't eventuate just because we'll trade it. But if that happens, then we probably are a little bit better off. Like Jonty Fall and Jobe Shanahan. I'm not against taking two key forwards, though, in the draft, if one's up this high and one's at the bottom end.
Yeah, and I think Jonty's a pretty mobile sort of a type, isn't he? Like a jack-in-the-box sort of player.
Jonty Fall,
There you go, mobility, yeah. So my memory is right. So that kind of, for me, takes away from the tallness a bit, if that sounds silly. But
it's not as lumbering.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I suppose from a midfield perspective, if we can somehow get Lawler, Jagger and Smiley, that would be an epic haul. I'm just not sure that Smiley will get that far. Would be nice if he does, though.
It would be beautiful. But, I'd be happy with Jagger Smith at 7 or 8 or 6 or whatever it is.
We'll take him. Yep. Now, the last one we'll look at is from True Footy. This was posted a couple of days ago. So another YouTuber does some pretty good work. So they've got Lawler at pick 1 for us, along with a lot of other people. And they've also got Harvey Langford coming to us at pick 7. So that's the second mock draft that's had Harvey Langford there, with Jagger Smith going the pick before. And then the next two picks with Trevaglia and Harry Armstrong. So that probably reads a little bit nicer, doesn't it, in terms of getting the big key forward and then Trevaglia, who can sort of plug and play off halfback, hopefully, for us in the early days.
Yep, the Rioli replacement type.
Yeah, and it's like we're not saying that he's going to be as good as Rioli, but you just want someone to give you the... We are. We'll go that early.
We're going to say he's going to be better than that bloody turncoat. Of course we are.
So that's good. I don't mind that. The Harvey Langford one's probably still the one that people will argue about, but you wouldn't be disappointed if you walked away with them as your first four players, would you?
No, no. You know, but and it's really interesting looking at the comments on the side and where people have got a leaning to like Reed over Smiley and, you know, Smith over Langford and all this sort of stuff. It just, it's interesting because they are, it's a really eclectic group of midfielders. They're not all one type. They all are very different. And so the options are all there.
Does it feel like we almost, I don't want to say this so I don't jinx this, it almost feels like you can't get this too wrong. Like with 1 and 6 in particular, I think wherever we land, even though it's going to upset a segment of the supporter base one way or another, I think we'll ultimately long-term end up okay.
Yeah, I don't think we can get it too wrong, but we do have the possibility of getting it more right. And I think that's where the balance of the draft will come in. When you're talking about the one before saying, oh, that might have been a bit tall, etc. So I think it's a mix of best available versus genuine needs. We genuinely need a key forward, but we do need quality midfielders. You know, there is probably a need now for a medium-sized halfback. So it's a matter of who we can get that fits our needs and what's available. And, yeah, it's bloody exciting.
It is. And I suppose in one way you've got to also keep an eye on next year as well, which is apparently a key position heavy draft. And maybe there's a couple there that we've got an eye on because we'll probably have some early picks next year as well, I dare say. So maybe it is just one from this year and get one from next year if there's a good type around. So we don't have to necessarily load up on two this year. Especially, I mean, this is on the assumption that Lynch plays some good numbers throughout the year. But you've still got Lynch and Ryan, Lafau, Bauer. Fawcett looks like he's put on some good size as well on the return back from pre-season, so I'm not sure how he'll feature in the side this year. But we do have some options to get us through another year alongside Lynch if we earmark someone for next year's draft as well.
Does anybody in the comments know what Fawcett's nickname is down at the club?
Has to be the Tap. If it's not the Tap, I'll be bitterly
disappointed. It's got to be Tappy. Has to be.
It has to be. And Hayes Brown, the snack pack, I didn't have the image with me, but he is rocking a very interesting look with the blonde tips in the hair, the socks with the sandals on. I'm happy to claim him. You've got to get around that kind of stuff. If you're bold enough to do that, you've got to get around it.
Yeah. And actually, someone else earlier on in very at the start of the show was asking, you know, who's HSP?
The snack pack, yeah.
Who was the snack pack? Yeah.
But, yeah, so...
Why, there you go. There it is again. Why the snack pack? Because OHP sounds similar to HSP. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. Yeah, Frederick, it seems like that is more likely than not. So the person who actually inboxed me tonight as well with some of their mail did indicate that the club is still tossing up between Lawler and O'Sullivan as well as not wanting to trade the picks away, which neither club seems to want to do either. So that is interesting. It is interesting. I'm kind of a bit bummed that we're not considering Draper as well. I really do think that Draper could be better than both, but I get what you say before, though, that if he's only 2% better, do you then go with the safer option without the go-home factor and have the homegrown kid, which I can understand.
Yeah. Oh, there we go again. There's a question. Sam Davidson. We're not going to take him in the main draft, I wouldn't think, so because he's not going to go for a pick in the 20s. So that's if we've got a pick left in the preseason, I suppose.
So that would be... Yeah, betting on that he doesn't get picked up in the national draft.
Which I think
someone will.
Yeah.
You would think that, yeah, someone will take the punt on him. If he doesn't get taken, I'll be shocked. And you would be almost certain that we'll take him in the preseason draft straight away if that's the case. But I can't see him going that whole night without being picked up.
Yeah. And Facebook user has said, I think there'll be major shocks on draft night, Bolters. I actually agree. I think it's such an even draft, but there's this consensus about this group of midfielders. You know, you could see someone like a Hines or a Cooper Hines or a Jesse Dettoli go 5 to 10 picks earlier than what people are thinking, and they'll go like, what? Or someone like, you know, Taj Houghton was always talked about as being top, but obviously injured.
And coming maybe he gets taken in his true position.
Maybe he gets taken higher than what people think, that people are thinking. Taj Houghton might be headed west, comes to draft night, Frederick says. Yeah, so I do think there will be a couple of shocks on draft night for sure.
Christian says, Draper did most of his work in the Sandful. How does that compare to Coates League and VFL, etc.? Look, personally, I hold what he's done in the Sandful in higher regard because it's against men. You could probably argue that some of the kids in Coates League are more talented, maybe in some way, shape or form. But in terms of still being able to rack up an average 20-odd disposals, 3 clearances a game against seasoned players who are men, and I think that's pretty impressive. And not many of the draftees can boast that same kind of thing. So when you see something like that, for me, it just says that they can step into the system a lot quicker and potentially see them playing AFL a lot quicker than someone else who hasn't played against men. And I think that's a bit more of an appealing thing. And he can seriously play. Like I said, go to our YouTube channel and check out the video I posted. I've got the highlights on there as well. He can seriously play. And like I said, it's almost staggering that we're not considering him as pick one.
Something
yes, Phoenix, yeah, Taj did do his ACL, but a highly, highly touted pick who, yeah, someone might take the punt and go real early on him, or he might slip through to mid-teens, but I can't see him lasting too much longer than that.
Yeah. Something CB said to me earlier today sort of rings true. And someone in the comments said, you know, like the club's got a plan and it's the law is the media pick and that. And that's true. I mean, I want Baller, but that's another story. But the lack of leaks coming from the club is fantastic. There's been no real strong whispers, has there?
Not really. Yeah, it's hard because I suppose managers and recruiters and people who are doing up draft profiles would hear bits and pieces and about requests that clubs want to see info on player X, Y, and Z. So you'd probably start piecing bits and pieces together, but it's still not what you would call genuine information, is it? Like it's connecting the dots, and maybe it ends up proving to be correct, but it's not hard and fast. Oh, they've said straight out, they've said this. So it is. It's nice. It's nice that that's happened. The one phantom draft that I think will reveal a lot will be Cal Twomey's, which I think he does on the Monday night before the draft. Ironically, the same night as us. So the best phantom drafts come on the Monday night. So interesting to see how close we get to Cal Twomey's would be very, very interesting. But yeah, the fact that as early as today, I was still told that we are apparently still tossing up between O'Sullivan and Lawler means anything could happen on the night. I will be pissed, though, if we get to the night and we still take 5 minutes. I know it's with the veteran for show, but surely we have an answer by then.
We must know. We must know, surely. Sure. It would be amazing if we got to the night and a totally unexpected number one popped up.
Oh, could you imagine? I had this, I think, I don't know if I said it on here or somewhere else, but I had a weird dream that we took Trevalier at one. And it just caused mass outrage. Just everyone up in arms. I don't know why. I don't even know why I thought it. But, oh, the wheel. There we go. Went in doubt. Oh, how could you imagine that if they cut to the Richmond board and they got the spinning wheel of names up on the screen to pick the number one pick? That would be epic. That would be so good. I would rate that very highly. But I know, Diddy, you're super keen on Draper at one and not so much Lawler. So for those, I'll paint the picture for you, Diddy, because I know you're passionate about this because I saw your comments today. Diddy's main argument is a lot of people are comparing Lawler to Dusty, but if you look at both their underage videos, like the under-18 videos, they're not really that similar. So he's kind of feeling like that Lawler could be a reject Dusty, if that makes sense. So he's a little bit skeptical about the Lawler selection. And like I said, whoever we pick at one is going to divide a heap of people. It's going to be brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, gee, I tell you what. Diddy and now Peter Kay, there's a bit of non-love, shall we say, for Lawler in the comments.
Yeah. I'm now not buying too much into the injury side of things, because the more you read up on all these draftees, they've all had injuries of some kind at some point during the last season or two. I suppose you can look at the severity, but yeah, I don't think it's all too bad.
I'm also sort of hopeful and saying that this new strength and conditioning guy is going to make a difference.
We can't do any worse, can he? He will be arguably our most important person at the footy club, along with Blake Carousella, I think, as a close second.
Yeah, well, you know, Blake really is the one that won the flags. We all know this.
So, now the other question I had for those who saw anything about pre-season was the camel back. Did the camel return for 2024 pre-season for 2025, or have we given it the arse?
The camel is not there.
The camel is not there? Fair enough. All right, that is probably a wrap for tonight. Like I said, Monday night, guys, we are going to be doing our own mock drafts, where I'm thinking it's going to be EJ, Grok, myself, and probably CB. And we will just snake order it, and we'll just pick for each team individually, and then we'll see what that mock draft looks like. So we'll do that Monday night.
And we're not going to rig the draft to get certain players to Richmond. We're going to actually try and...
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're not going to be dicks about it. We want to be as accurate as possible. And where possible, give some reasoning behind the thought process of the pick. So we're not just going to pull names out of a hat. It'd be good to see how close we get to the mark. So, and the reason why I thought we'd do it snake order is because then that way we all probably get a chance of picking something for Richmond as well. So it kind of evens itself out. And then on Wednesday, we're obviously going live for draft night as well. So we can watch we won't be able to watch it on here, but we can all watch it at the same time and make comments and talk about who we pick and who we don't pick. So it should be very, very interesting. So I appreciate that, Peter Cage. Look, and I know typically in years gone by, we've not really done many shows or any content this time of year, because we've typically not had a first pick until the 40s, which isn't very interesting. But given the nature of the draft and the hand that we've got, it does deserve a bit more coverage, and there's a lot more interest in it. So we thought we would do it accordingly. So I'm Big Charlie. This is a good call here. A shout out to the AFLW team. They obviously lost to Port Adelaide on the weekend in the elimination final. Very disappointing to go out that way. That last quarter, we just couldn't get the consecutive goals. We'd get one and then Port would get an easy one back within the next 30 seconds. That was a bit frustrating, but it kind of felt like that if we had got two in a row, we might have actually got a bit of a roll on there. But no, hopefully they bounce back next year. And Katie Brennan going off with a hamstring injury did not help structurally either. So hopefully we can add a bit more talent to the side next year and go again. Was there anything else, EJ? Have we got anything else? Or is that just about it, I think?
No, I'm now just thinking, all of a sudden, you said draft, I'm thinking about what I need to do for my background.
Yeah, I'll maybe chuck some stuff in the chat so we can work out what we're going to do for it. But yeah, have a great night, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. Much appreciated. We appreciate all the thoughts and views on the draft as well. There's so many possibilities that could come through. And I seriously do appreciate the fact that everyone's prepared to put their thoughts out there, because we've all got differing views of what's needed and what player X might offer. And it's good fun. It's good fun. But yeah, Monday night we'll do our own mock draft. So a proper one, not the wheel. We'll actually do a proper legit mock draft on Monday night. And then we'll jump on for the live show on Wednesday. So we will see you all on Monday night. Catch you later.
I've got an idea. We'll do a proper draft. At the same time, we'll run a wheel and have a wheel draft and a real draft.
Oh, a wheel and a real draft. I like it. We can definitely do that. All right, have a good night, everybody. We'll see you all on Monday. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.